Hey everybody, welcome to the Nerdy Rat. This week we get new baby ratties. I'm gonna talk about how I'm getting back into magic, and Liz saw A Wrinkle in Time, so let's get started. And theme song.
Everybody, welcome to the Nerdy Rat.
Hey, how's it going? How you doing, Liz?
I'm doing good, Matt.
Hey, welcome everybody. Do you want to start out with, we got a question from one of our listeners.
We did. Hey everybody, so here we are this week on the Nerdy Rat. We're going to start with a question we got from a listener. So you want to go into that, Matt?
So let's see, where is it?
It was from Alexander on Facebook. And it's right here. Highlighting it. You accidentally unhighlighted it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You see it now?
Yeah. So he was concerned about one of his rats had some red discharge around their eyes. And he was asking if he should take them to the vet or not just for that.
Exactly.
And, you know, I think if you're not having any other signs, a lot of times it can be allergies, if they get like a little cold or something. It's not concerning, I think, in of itself, but I think if you hear any weird breathing sounds or wheezing or anything like that, then I would definitely say yes. But if it's only that and it's not like super severe, a lot of times it's just they need to groom themselves a little bit more. Then I wouldn't worry too much about it if that's the only thing that you have going on, because they do get it from time to time from like non concerning conditions like allergies and.
It's actually pretty common. So it's called porphyrin, and it can come out of their eyes, and it can also come out of their nose. And it looks like blood, which is scary.
Yeah, I think it's really scary because it is kind of a darkish tint. It looks like almost like blood. But
especially if you're a new rat owner and you've never seen it before.
It's much more noticeable on the rats with white fur around their eyes.
I agree.
So you may not even notice it on some of your other rats that have darker fur.
Yeah, because it would just blend in.
But yeah, like I would just, you know, definitely pay attention to them if they're acting differently, if they're seeming lethargic, or if they're having issues with their breathing.
Right.
Anything else, I would say definitely take them in.
Right.
If they have it and they have it ongoing for a long time, it may be an indication that they're not like really grooming themselves. So I would definitely have them checked out. I mean, if you're ever in doubt, you can always take them in. But I know it's a cost concern for a lot of people.
Exactly. So, especially if nothing else is wrong.
I would just be careful and monitor them for any other issues. But
right.
I don't think that alone is cause enough to be super concerned if there's nothing else going on.
Yeah. And a couple other things you want to watch if that's happening. You want to see if there's any swelling on their face, because remember we had that one ratty we had to put down it was Athena who had
she ended up having
the tumor on her face. And that wasn't related to porphyrin, but if you see just in case they're having discharge from their eyes caused by a tumor, you want to check them for bumps,
Anytime you have a rat has bumps anywhere, the adult,
take them
the
in.
Females will get the mammary tumors, which aren't that much of a big deal.
I can't remember the name. I want to say zygote. Is that what the nerve is called in the face where Athena got it? It's like a nerve or something that runs between your nose and your eye.
The pituitary?
No, it wasn't pituitary because that's a brain one. It was something with a Z, I thought.
Yeah,
with Athena.
It
I can't remember
been,
the name. I was trying to Google it, but because I didn't know what the name was, I couldn't find what sounds like a Z nerve in a rat. And then I'm like, oh, I don't want to see these anatomy pictures. Thank you. But yeah, so you just want to watch for that. And you also want to just check if there's like a scratch, a visible scratch anywhere. But typically the porphyrin is very common, so you don't really need to worry about it.
Yeah.
Like you said, if that's the only thing that's happening, And, you know, that's another reason why it's important not to have a solitary rat, because they need to be in pairs at least, or in larger groups, but yeah, they'll clean each other off from that. Nimmy's really good at that.
Yeah. Well, that relates to our second question we got from another viewer, right?
Oh, yeah, we could talk about that. So a listener, Megan, reached out to us, and we are so sorry because she just lost her heart rat. And, oh, I feel her pain because I know how hard it will be for me one day when mine goes. But so it was one of a pair, and she was wondering how long it would be okay to keep her other rat single before getting another rat. And
yeah, I think that's a really, that's a hard decision.
It is.
Sometimes you don't have a choice and you can't get another rat. And I think that's understandable. I think in those situations, if you can reach out to any rescues or anyone that might be able to pair your older rat with another older rat.
Right. And either to give you a companion or to take yours if you're willing to give yours up.
Yeah, because it's difficult because they definitely, their demeanor definitely changes when they end up alone at the end of their life. Like Athena was one that was on her own for a couple of months before her parents gave her up to the rescue.
Yeah,
and she definitely perked up when she came to live with our.
Oh, and we actually made friends with her parents, and they were amazed at the difference in her. Like, they said, you know, just seeing her from even, like, a week prior before they gave her up to, you know, the way she was. And we had little baby rats at the time. We had Nim and her four babies who were actually, like, 6 weeks old at the time. And we had a couple of other old lady ratties. But Athena was just so happy. She was just, like, smiling all the time, and she actually ended up living like another 6 months. And part of the reason why they had kept her was they thought that she would probably die pretty quickly because her other two sisters had died and she was elderly. She lived till over 3 years old.
That's always rough, and that's the problem. Like, you don't know how much time they have,
right?
And I think their quality of life would always be improved if they can be placed with a friend. So, I mean, I would definitely, like, sometimes you have no option, and that's,
right. And, you know, that's understandable. Exactly. But if you can, and so she was asking how soon is too soon as well. And I said, I think within 24 hours. I mean, I gave our rats.
Yeah. One thing I think she might have been asking was how soon can she introduce the rat to a new group of rats. And I think when they're older, they tend to, like, be usually they seem to accept more quickly. Like, when we got Athena and introduced her, we had her introduced within 24 hours. And she was really just looking for the company, and our rats did, like, we didn't have any problems introducing her. I think you should still try it out in the normal introduction fashion where you have them meet on neutral ground first. See how they do. And then maybe clean their cage and then see if the introductions go okay. And a lot of times when they're older, I think they have less, and if they're on their own, they're lonely. I think intros are going to go much smoother. But just kind of play it by ear and see how the initial intros go, and if everything goes
right,
just have a cage on standby to separate them in case any fights break out.
Yeah, and I think, like, within 20, I mean, not maybe within, but, like, after 24 hours of them losing their friend, it's fine to start introductions. Do you remember when we got Doreen and also Lily? Doreen came from a shelter, and through Small Angels, we fostered her in the Twilight program. And her companion rat at the shelter had died, and the shelter workers reached out to Small Angels because they said Doreen was so depressed.
Yeah.
And Doreen just... we were able to, again, introduce her within 24 hours of, like, she only needed, like, one intro, I think. Because we had older girls at that point, and they were pretty calm and welcoming.
Yeah.
But Doreen was happy.
Yeah. If you have older spayed or fixed rats, I think it's generally very easy. I think if they're younger, it's harder.
Exactly.
Because if they're, like, in their prime, they're more tendency to get territorial than
if you're introducing an older rat to younger rats, the younger ones might be a little bit more difficult about it than the older one who just lost her cage mate. But if you can find, like, another older rat who was also alone, who also just similarly got singled, you know, that might be a good companion pair. So
yeah, and we have some sad news.
Yes, my little foster girl who I loved so much, who was my biter girl, Nova, she died this week. We had to put her down.
She was very old. She was just not doing well. She had lost most of her mobility and she was definitely fading very quickly.
And so it just kind of came out of the blue, though, because we did see that her legs her back legs were getting weak, but she was still seeming pretty perky, you know, and like she was still eating and all of a sudden, like one night she looked fine and I was like snuggling her in the pouch and everything. And the next night she just was like noticeably thinner and she had clearly given up. Like she was ready to go.
It wasn't just degeneration because she stopped moving almost all, like she couldn't really get around at all. Cause usually if they're still healthy and they have the degeneration, they'll still be active and pulling themselves around by their front paws. And she wasn't doing
all of a sudden she just lost a lot of weight. It seemingly like within 24, probably 48 hours. And she just didn't want to eat anymore. And she just looked like she was ready to cross. Yeah. So we were able to get our vet to put her down. And my God, that was really hard on me. I did not want to lose her yet. I just like, she bit me all the time, but I loved her and she was an affectionate biter.
And now we're going to be adopting her, her two sisters.
I convinced Matt that we had to adopt her other sisters, Pinky and Sparkles, who are younger.
Right now we have two nine cages.
Yeah, so we do. We have nine of our own, and now we're adopting Pinky and Sparkles because I just love them too much, and it hurt me. We've had them a long time. I think we've had them, like, since November at this point because they couldn't get adopted out, really, because Nova was a biter, and they were part of a bonded trio with her.
I was going to say, I think we've almost had them 6 months at this point.
I think so, and which is why I felt like I loved them too much, because they were mine at this point.
Well,
you know?
Had them before November because we got them spayed in November.
We got them spayed like November, December, I think.
Yeah, but we had them a couple of months when we decided to get them
spayed.
That's
right. We had already had them.
When it was starting to look like they may not get
adopted
right away.
Because of Nova, when we realized how bitey she was.
Yeah, and the reason we did that was because we knew if somebody did adopt them down the line, it would at that point be too late to spay them.
Right, because remember, for females, if you get them spayed, and we're still not sure if it's either before 6 months or before a year old, but definitely before a year old.
It's between three to 9 months.
Oh, okay. Three to nine months.
I think it's pretty sure.
Anyway, it prevents mammary tumors later in life if you get them spayed before that age mark. But so we were thinking that if we kept them until Nova passed and then they got adopted out, their adopter wouldn't be able to have any benefit from getting them spayed at that point.
Yeah.
Because they'd be too old at that point.
Yeah. And it's always like a 50-50 chance.
Exactly.
They're gonna get it. So, and it seems like every girl we've had that was unspayed has gotten them in the past couple of years.
We've been unlucky with that as far as the ones through Twilight.
Now,
and
Nova
stuff like
didn't
that.
Get it. She wasn't
spayed. Actually, Nova didn't get it. Any tumors.
So she was a lucky one.
But anyway, I just loved Pinky and Sparkles too much at this point, and I couldn't cope with losing Nova and then losing them too. So we're adopting them. Now, we're going slow with intros just because we're being a little bit relaxed about it. Like, what I'm doing, since we do have two separate cages for them plus another foster cage, I'm just kind of introducing them in the bonding pouch to two or three rats from our pack at a time. And I'm picking ones that are not likely to fight them, which is why I'm doing the intros in the bonding pouch. Typically, you want to do the intros in the bathtub. But for one thing, these two girls are mourning because they just lost their sister. So they're ready. And also, they've been living literally inches away next door from our rats in their double critter nation. So they've been smelling each other a long time.
And I'm not in a hurry to get the cage overcrowded with rats, too.
No, that's our other thing. Yeah.
Because for the double critter nation, I think it maxes out around 12.
It does. And we have nine in there right now. So we're just taking it slow and easy, you know. We're not in any rush to do it, but they seem, I have to say, they were so happy the first night I put them in the bonding pouch with Toro and Nim, and they were just, no, it was Toro and Peter the first night, and they were just smiling and so happy. I wanted to talk about what I did when Nova died. So our vet has always said, don't show them the dead rat, don't show the living ones the dead rat after they're gone. And now, she's been very adamant about
did
that.
Did she give a reason for that? Or
no, but she's always said, I've asked her different times, do you think it would help them to see her? No, you don't need to show them. And I really respect her in all other areas. But not to say I disrespect her in this, but I disagree in this because I saw in a Facebook rat group a while ago, people were debating the issue, and someone who had horses said that she didn't do it with her one horse out of a pair of horses because I guess she would have had to pay to bring the poor horse back after it passed. And she said its friend was crying for 2 weeks looking for him.
Aww.
I know. And what I noticed was that when I went to the vet to put Nova down, I had brought Pinky and Sparkles in the carrier so she wouldn't be alone, you know. But obviously I took them home, just Pinky and Sparkles in the carrier. Well, when I put them back in their own cage, they were literally frantic climbing around the cage looking for Nova. And they're not usually like that at all. But they knew she had been sick and they knew she had come in the carrier with them. And they were really freaking out looking for her. And they were really worried. And rats are so empathetic. And so I did take the box and I opened it and put her in there with them. And honestly, each one of them came up and like they sniffed her and they licked her a little bit. And then they were peaceful. And so I think I'm always going to do that from now on because I think it's important for them to get to say goodbye and to understand what happened, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to teach something like that
right
to an animal, but I think they definitely have an understanding of what's going on.
Oh, like, they do. And like, I think, you know, as a parent, I want to spare them any sadness and suffering. But, you know, I can't stop them from being sad that their friend died, but I can stop them from being freaked out and worried because they can't find their friend.
Yeah, help them at least understand
exactly
that something has happened.
Exactly. And so partly, too, why I thought that was elephants actually do a ritual mourning when one dies in the wild. And there was a National Geographic video I pulled up, which I had seen a couple years ago. And so they actually will go and mourn the one, you know, the one that has died. And it's like a really special thing that the group does. So
I didn't go watch that video.
No, it was, well, you can't really see the dead one that much because I think it had already decomposed a little bit at that point, but it was sad. But at the same time, just if anybody's interested.
And I didn't want to go watch a bunch of sad elephants.
I totally understand. But you know, just to back up my claims with science, yeah. But yeah, so I think I'm going to do that from now on.
Yeah. And happier news, we yes. have babies.
Yay, babies! We've talk about our babies!
So we got a mother and 10 uh-huh. babies. And uh-huh. the mother's very young. She's
through small angels, by the way. Point that out. We didn't breed them. No. Through our rescue.
Yeah, so where did they come from?
Gratitude Rat Rescue in Baltimore. Shout out to them. They pulled about 4 or 5 mother rats with litters mm-hmm. from a shelter. So they didn't have enough foster families to handle all of them. So they reached out to Small Angels, and Small Angels was able to take
this
one.
This girl is still very young herself.
Yeah,
and she's
the mom
been nursing 10 of them. And mm-hmm. I think a few of them are not hers.
Yeah, I'm
I
not
think
sure
I,
at this
I think
point.
She took a couple. I think she had like 6 and they gave her like 4 more because
one mom wasn't
one
raising.
Mom wasn't really able to raise her. So they took them away from her and split them between the
because she
other
was willing
nursing
to,
rats.
She was willing to take them in. Yeah.
And she's been really good. She's been.
She has. She's a
good
mom.
She's been nesting really well. Mm-hmm. And we fed her some eggs last night and mm-hmm. she ate a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And
it's important to give them extra protein when they're nursing.
She's very skittish. So I have I've held her a couple times, but she tends to hide behind her. I don't try and grab her and pull her out.
Yeah, because. Like right. Our coordinator had suggested that we pick her up every time we see her out of the igloo. But the problem is now she's hiding behind the igloo when she comes out of the igloo. So I don't know if you ever had experience with a nursing mom, but they get exhausted from nursing. So before the babies can crawl, what they tend to do is crawl away from the babies so they can sleep.
Yeah.
So she's been doing that. She crawls
so
outside the igloo.
They'll go nurse and then she'll get a break.
Yes. But it's funny. Do you remember our other mama rat we had through the rescue? Because once those babies were able to crawl, it was like they chased her.
Yeah.
And they would just lay on top of her and nurse.
You would see her running around the cage with little babies hanging
off of
her.
She'd be so tired. I know. She
was
so tired.
They would be like,
tired.
No, come back, mommy. We all come.
I know. They're like, we're going to be a nurse, mommy. So,
so they're still the very mm-hmm. little beans.
They are only about 10 days old at this point. They were a week on Sunday when we got them. So they're not quite 2 weeks yet. And they will be adoptable at 5 weeks.
Yeah. So we still got some ways to go. Hopefully she'll be able to keep up with all of them. Yeah. She is very young herself. But
like
we're trying
3 months, maybe.
Trying
She's
to give her
old.
As much food as treats as possible. So
she's being a good girl.
Like, mostly with nursing rats, just let them do that. They
just
know
let
how
them
to
do their
job.
Exactly.
Just let them do it.
You do want to support them with scrambled eggs so they get some extra protein. But aside from that, like, you know, let her be with the babies. And just make sure if you have babies on your hands, unexpectedly or not, you need to sex and separate them at 5 weeks, because that's sexual maturity, and you do not want to have a rat explosion.
If you don't, that
might have been what happened in this instance, is that somebody had an explosion.
That's what usually happens.
Yeah.
If they're not aware, a lot of times it just gets out of control.
Someone might
very
just
quickly.
Be like, "Wee, babies! I wasn't expecting
and
that, but I love them."
Especially considering how young this one is, that's probably what happened.
That probably is what happened. So. And even the other situation we had with our other mama, her mom had gotten impregnated by one of the mom's own baby boys at 5 weeks or 6 weeks. So it's just crazy and not cool. So make sure you separate babies at 5 weeks. And if you have trouble sexing them, call a rescue. And if, you know, preferably call a rescue before 5 weeks so they can help you rehome, you know, any
of
that.
If you have baby rats, you need to get on top of it.
Yeah,
because
seriously.
You will end up with an explosion that is beyond your control.
And I do want to point out, a lot of people end up with unexpected babies because either a rat they adopt from a pet store is pregnant and they didn't know when they brought it home. The pet store had probably been keeping them in mixed cages. A lot of people think they're adopting a same-sex pair and the pet store has missexed them. So they actually have a male-female couple, and then they end up with babies. So it's not like you want to blame people for having babies, because a lot of times it's an accident.
Yeah, so. It happens a lot. And like all these different pet stores get their rats from everywhere. So the quality of breed of the people who breed them and the sexes and stuff like that is not always the best.
Exactly.
So
I recommend, of course, if possible, adopt from a rescue. Because
if you have
then
a
you're
rescue,
helping
adopt.
Rats.
If you don't have a rescue, I would recommend signing up for alerts on, and to get, you can sign up on Adopt a Pet, I think. I think it's Adopt a Pet.
Oh,
it's one of them. But
I
you
think so. Or Pet Finder?
I forget which one that sends me the emails all the time. Okay. Basically what you do is you go and you select like small animal, and then under type you select like rats.
Yeah.
Small and furry rats. Mm-hmm. And basically what it does is when a listing gets posted at a shelter.
Yeah.
It's adoptapet.com.
Okay. That's a good point.
It'll pop up and it'll say, hey, we've got these rats at this shelter, and then you can just go to the shelter and check them out.
Right, because my first thought is adopt from a rescue, but then also there's shelters, so if you don't have a rescue in your area, people give up their pet rats all the time to local animal shelters.
And
so definitely call a shelter if you don't have a rescue, and most of the time the rescues are getting their rats from the shelters. But you know, if you don't have a rescue in your area,
we had an animal shelter reach out to us
recently, didn't we? Which one?
Give a Heart Rat Rescue.
Oh, we did. Yeah. So let's transition to local animal news, even though that's a little bit of like national animal news, I suppose, because it's not. Oh, sorry. It's local to those of you who live in East Tennessee. So this is the East Tennessee Give a Heart Rat Rescue. And they are actually they're the only rat rescue that I could find on Google in Tennessee. Their owner reached out to us. She actually started the rescue on her own. She was just a person who loves rats, and she just started it out in her house. And now she works still out of her house with a couple foster families as well. And she only started in 2012. So she is raising funds to support her good work that she does. And, she is going to be having an Facebook auction in April. So you definitely want to check that out on their Facebook page.
Yeah. And even if you're not, if you
East
wanna...
TN Rat Rescue.
Yeah.
Or no, on Facebook, it's East TN Give a Heart Rat Rescue.
Yeah. And they're listed on the...
The traveling rat. Right.
Yeah,
as the rescues.
Yeah.
And that's the only one in Tennessee on that list. So, we hope you can support them. She's in Elizabethton, East Tennessee. So if you are in Tennessee and you're looking to adopt rats, or if you would like to foster rats, I'm sure she would love to have some more foster parents.
Yeah, and that's how these rescues start. Mm-hmm. Is
it's a passionate rat lover.
Yeah, and there's a need in an area for
exactly. Exactly. And I she doesn't have her 501c3 status because that's very expensive to apply for. And it's like as in like a couple $1,000s. And yeah. She's spending all the money right now that she raises on vets and food and litter and things like that. But so it's I don't think that. So what I think that means is that you can't deduct any money you donate to them. But oh, my goodness, you're getting the best feeling in the world from supporting a rat rescue. So,
yeah.
Yeah, definitely check them out on Facebook. We'll put the links in our show notes. And if you work for or work with any kind of rat rescue and you want a shout out on our show, make sure you shoot us an email at thenerdyrat@gmail.com. And we'd be happy to feature your rescue.
Yeah, if you want to tell us something about your rescue, too, we can talk about it.
So. Absolutely.
All right.
So
that was a lot of rat topics.
I know it was heavy on the rat topics. Well, I think we're going to be a little lighter on the nerdy topics this week. Yeah. So I was like, well,
we've had a lot going on with the rescue and stuff too.
We have had a lot going. It's been a cram packed couple of weeks. So,
yeah. So you saw, so now we're moving on to the nerdy topics.
Yes. Nerdy topics. Spoiler alert.
You saw A Wrinkle in Time, the Oprah story.
The Oprah story. But she just happens to be in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's not Oprah's life story.
No.
Okay.
It's a book. It's a kid's book, a science fiction
book.
Yeah,
I remember seeing it on a lot of reading lists that I never read.
Well, the funny thing is, somehow, despite loving books as a kid, I never read A Wrinkle in Time. No, I don't know how that happened. So I only actually read it a couple months ago because I saw the movie was coming out and I thought the trailers looked really amazing. So I read the book. Oh my gosh. I was staying up late, like three nights in a row to finish it.
You liked it?
The book was amazing. The book was intense. It was like scary, really thoughtful sci-fi, like kind of like the heavy kind of science fiction where it's just really dramatic, really gripping, lots of character development, like true sense of evil pervading the book and drama and all this stuff. So that being said, the book was better than the movie. So there were some things I liked about the movie. I thought all of the actors that they picked for the roles were really, really good. The little girl in the story, Meg, was played by Storm Reid, and she's like a new actor on the scene, I guess, but she was incredible.
Well,
like
how old is she?
I don't know. I mean, I want to guess like around 10 or 11.
Well, she looks really young, so she couldn't have been acting that long.
No, she's a new actor. Yeah. But this is like her first starring role.
So
10 or 11.
So the story is science fiction, not fantasy.
No, it's science fiction.
Okay. Okay.
Well, at least in the book. Now, see, I felt like the movie. So here's my problem with the movie. What the movie did was it chopped off a lot of the action in the book. So like in the book, you meet these three characters and Oprah plays one of them. Mindy Kaling is the other one. And Reese Witherspoon is the third one. And their names are Mrs. Witch, Mrs. What's It, and Mrs. Who. And they're like, they seem like fantasy creatures. They're like really sci-fi creatures, but they're like fantasy creatures, sci-fi creatures that appear to this precocious little kid named Charles Wallace. But in the book, it's like long and drawn out how you meet them, how you get to know them, what's going on, the setup. Meg's dad has disappeared several years ago. And in the book, he was working on a top secret government project and he disappeared while working on it. And the project was something about Tesseracts, which is her made up sci-fi thing, where it's basically like you can wormhole through space.
Isn't that the Tesseract from the first Avengers?
Oh, wait, am I thinking of the wrong thing then? Is that the wrong word? No, it is Tesser. I'm pretty sure it is Tesser.
She didn't make that up. Tesseract.
She didn't make that up.
So according to Wikipedia, it's a four-dimensional analog of the cube.
Oh, okay.
So it's like a cube and a square.
Well, no, that's the Avengers. That's different.
Well, that but that's just the what
this
the
was more like Stargate. It was like Stargate without the gates.
Okay.
So
okay.
It's like basically, and they call it a wrinkle in time, but it's really a wrinkle in space because they're not time traveling. They're portaling through space to different planets.
Okay.
So, so what happened was her dad was doing this for the government and he got stuck out in space. And then there's this evil thing called the It, which is slowly spreading evil through the universe. And the three Mrs. characters are like fighting against the evil and they come to get Meg and Charles Wallace and this other boy who's that becomes their friend to try to get her dad back. And also to try to, you know, fight the evil on this planet and stuff like this. So in the book, it's just really well developed. You really understand the story. You understand the characters. But in the movie, they would show you like 30 seconds of like three chapters of action in the book. And right. Then they would go on to the next 30 seconds of action. And so I felt like the movie wasn't very dramatic. It wasn't very scary. It wasn't very relatable. There was no character development.
So how long was this movie?
And it was over 2 hours.
Really?
And, yeah. And somehow they managed to accomplish like nothing in the space of 2 hours.
Do you think it could have been better if it got split into like a couple of movies or a series?
I think it would have been better if they would have stuck closer to the book and if they had based the script on the book. Because yeah. I almost felt like they thought, oh, this is a movie, so we have to make it faster paced and more action oriented and this and that. And I think if they had just really followed, the book was gripping. If they had just followed what happened in the book, it would have been amazing.
Yeah. When I saw the trailer for it, I thought it made it look like this kind of like light fantasy story, like almost like Witch in the Wardrobe or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and I feel like in the movie, it felt a little bit more fantasy than sci-fi because it really was like straight up sci-fi in the book. And it did seem a little more fantasy.
Yeah, well,
it
said
the
author was learning about like quantum physics when she wrote it. So.
Yeah, and it's a really well done book. But I have to say, I felt every actor filled their role perfectly. And I thought the costumes were gorgeous. I thought the visuals were gorgeous. So, but then that made me angrier because I'm like, oh, my God, you could have made this movie amazing.
You think the adaption just kind of fell flat?
The adaption fell flat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's That's disappointing.
Yeah, that is disappointing. Maybe they'll revisit it in a couple of years.
I don't know. I have to say, though, in the book, the one thing I thought they got really, really right was this kid, Charles Wallace, in the book is the most precocious little 5-year-old. He talks like a freaking encyclopedia. And having read the book, I was like, come on. Like, I know he's supposed to be this genius and whatever, but how are you going to portray that in a movie? But the kid actor they found to portray Charles Wallace was incredible. I mean, he did sound like a little nerdy genius, but still a cute little 5-year-old. I mean, it was just incredible the job he did. So,
yeah, that's too bad. Yeah. Did you ever see the. What are the.
The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? Is that where you're going? No.
The. Oh God, the name of it is escaping me. The Adams Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
No.
Did you ever see that movie?
I didn't.
That was kind of the same thing where like the movie was cool, the acting was good, but like it kind of the adaptation fell flat. It's like the person who was writing taking the book and trying to
exactly
put it into a movie wasn't really up to par with the original writing of the book, or it just didn't translate well, maybe.
Yeah, and that's kind of actually why I didn't watch that movie, and that's why I don't watch most book adaptations, because I'm inevitably disappointed.
Although there was one scene in the Hitchhiker's Guide movie that was really spot on.
Oh,
and
okay.
If they had, if the whole movie had been done at that quality, it would have been great.
Well, and that's what disappointed me with this movie was that, like, I thought the three actresses who played the Mrs. characters captured them so perfectly. And they were kind of fantastical characters who were, like, larger than life in the book. And I thought they just did such a perfect, beautiful job of being those characters. And I wish they would have had the actual story that they had in the book because they had no character development in this movie, you know, and they had hardly any screen time too, it felt like. And I'm like, come on, these are like really great characters.
Yeah, I think the thing that was kind of surprising about Hitchhiker's Guide is that, like, I know Douglas Adams is credited mm-hmm. with the screenplay, too.
Oh, he is?
Wow. Yeah, but it was with another person, oh. too. So I'm just not sure how, like...
Yeah.
I'm not sure why that kind of fell through. Because I think everybody kind of had really high hopes for it.
I know.
And
well,
the same with this movie, too.
Exactly.
Where everybody was expecting...
Great things.
I think there was a lot of high expectations
there
put
were.
On this movie. Like, people were talking, like, this is going to be...
Right.
Really good. I think that was all behind the popularity of the book.
I think so, too. And also, I think because the visuals were stunning. So, from the trailers, I mean, the trailers alone are why I read the book.
Yeah, well,
and plus, they had such a strong cast of actors. I mean, it should have been fantastic. But, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's disappointing.
Yeah, it was.
But that's all right.
I know.
Yeah.
What you gonna do?
Yeah. So
stop seeing book adaptations of movies.
I've somehow gotten back into Magic the Gathering.
Yes, you have.
I don't know. So I guess I found out my friends at work had been playing it for a while.
Okay.
And before that, even, like, I just started watching the YouTube videos by, like, the Magic the Gathering creators, like mm-hmm. the people that make videos about Magic the Gathering. I don't know how.
Okay.
That I got started on that. I think I might have watched, like, Alpha Investments video.
Okay.
Who is this guy who, like, all he does is, like, invests, like, he buys and sells Magic,
mm-hmm.
and he does it as, like, a business, and mm-hmm. like, he'll buy, like, booster boxes and hold on to them for 5 years and then turn around and sell them and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But he has the most fascinating YouTube videos about it. It's like, even though I hadn't played Magic in years, his videos were just, like, fascinating mm-hmm. to me, like, really, really, really engrossing and interesting. And then I started watching some of the other creators, and I started talking to my friends about it, and then
you found out they were
and
playing
then then I found out I could sell a bunch of my old Magic cards, and I got like $700 from Card Kingdom.
I know,
just selling old cards. And then I bought more Magic cards with that
with
money.
The
so
money, I know.
So far I've only spent like $70 or so after, like, all the everything mm-hmm. else, after the money I got back. But I bought like 3 or 4 booster packs and a bunch of supplies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
I've been checking out the local game shops. There's one, Dice City Games in Silver Spring that I checked out.
Mm-hmm.
They seem pretty cool. Like, the owners were all really nice, and they were excited to help somebody who's coming back into it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, and they were real friendly and everything.
And they have some gameplay days
on days that you're off, right?
Yeah. Or at least on one day that you're off.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, they're closed on Monday, Tuesdays, but they are open on Sundays, and they got stuff going on every day. So
that's cool.
Yeah, they do stuff after they're open until midnight on Fridays.
Oh,
so I might check that out.
Like after work one day, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I could see where, like, you need a place to play it and people to play with if you're really going to get back into it.
Well, like, if you don't know anybody that's actively playing, you kind of need to go out and make friends
and get into the scene. Stuff. Yeah.
I mean, I remember when I was 15, we used to go to the comic book shop every Friday night and we'd just play with people. And, you know, they'd close the comic book shop at 9 and we'd stay there till midnight, and they'd all be smoking inside the store and stuff.
Yeah.
I was 15, but then my parents thought I was smoking because I would come home smelling like smoke. I was like, no, they're just smoking. I don't
smoke.
But yeah, but it's cool. I always liked it. And now it's kind of cool because I actually have money that I could spend on it.
Yeah,
like, You know, whereas, like, before when I played, I didn't really... Like, when I was a kid, I didn't have any money.
Oh, I know. Like, I used to play the Star Trek, The Next Generation customizable card game.
Yep,
I remember. You have to, like, save up your money when you're a teenager to, like, go get your little packs of cards and stuff like that.
You know, like, $5 a pack is nothing to somebody like me, but... So, like, when you're a little kid, that's like
your whole allowance. Exactly.
Yeah.
If I'd had an allowance, but
But no, I mean, I'm kind of like back. Like, I'm really enjoying it.
Awesome,
I need to go hang out. I know they're going to do a pre-release event in a couple of weeks for the new set that's coming out. So I'm definitely going to be doing that.
You're going to check that out with some friends, right?
Yeah. And then probably hit up some shops and play some games. So
yeah, that'll be really cool. And we were talking, actually, you suggested going to PAX Unplugged this year.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen.
We're planning to, as long as they're having it, because they haven't announced dates yet for it.
Yeah, I guess last year was the last year, but I'm sure they will. They usually don't announce it till like they're like 6 months out or something.
Oh, okay. Well, we're getting close. It's going to be in November.
Yeah, well, cons are generally like they don't.
Oh, okay.
They don't always announce them.
So last year, we're looking at going to the Philadelphia one, which was in November last year, I guess. So
yeah,
we're
thinking
it'll probably be in November again this year.
Yeah. So if that does happen this year, then we'll be checking that out.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll check out the city of
Philadelphia.
City of Philadelphia?
Yeah, I think so. It's big. So
it's in Pennsylvania. That's the state.
Yes.
I know these things. I failed geography in seventh grade, but
oh well.
It's the only class I ever failed.
That's all right. No, Philadelphia, yeah. So
yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, so
I'm
we'll
back into magic.
Get
so,
there. So that's cool. And I think it's cool though that you were able to kind of like in a way recycle your cards by selling them and then using that money to get starter packs.
I basically just bought them. I like 8 or 9 mm-hmm. years ago, I was just collecting the cards. I wasn't even playing because I didn't really know anybody playing.
Okay.
So like
okay.
I played a couple times and then I was like,
yeah.
I would just buy the cards. I just kind of sat on them.
Oh, so it actually was your investment. Look at that.
Yeah.
And then you used it now to get the
I bought a set of cards from a guy for like $100. And I turned around and he had a dual land, which is one of the old, really old cards. And I ended up selling that one for $240.
Wow.
So if you know what you're doing, you can make money off of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I mean, like this guy who makes these videos, he makes his whole career off buying and selling Magic cards.
Right.
So it's basically like speculating on which cards are going to go. I mean, it's dangerous, but you can make money.
Now, does he also though get paid for his videos? Does he somehow make?
Oh yeah,
money
he makes revenue off YouTube. Videos,
100% right. It's not 100%.
He's also got a Patreon too.
Investing into magic.
He's got an interesting gig going on. If you are his patron, you can buy direct from him, and he sells.
Oh, interesting. Because
he gets everything wholesale, and then he turns around and sells it.
Yeah, he does have he has a keen mind for business.
Oh yeah, he was like. Some of his videos, he talks that he was a financial advisor before got into this magic thing.
Yeah.
And then I guess he just got tired of it. And he's like, well, I love magic, so I'm just going to buy and sell that.
Yeah.
Now.
Well, that's kind of like me. I'm getting tired of my other careers that involve teaching. And so I'm getting more into sewing and Etsy.
Speaking of finance, Toys R Us is shutting down.
Oh, my God. I know. I wrote on our outline, the 80s are officially over.
Is the Toys R Us by us still open? I know there used to be one
in
Rockville.
Rockville.
Yeah.
There used to be one.
But I don't know if it's still there. I think they knocked
know.
It down.
There was one closer to us, like in Langley Park, I thought. But I don't know that one's still there. That was a while ago.
If it is there, it's not there for much longer.
There was one in Glen Burnie. Yeah, so they're closing.
Yeah, but like go buy them out of all their junk that nobody wants.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that's just like, because like the Star Wars merch that's been glutting the shelves for the past 3 or 4 years.
Oh, yeah, at Toys R Us.
Everywhere, like you go to Target, you
go
to Walmart.
And, you know, I think that's the thing is that there's all these other stores like brick and mortar shops where you can get the same toys that Toys R Us is selling.
Yeah, I mean, you can go to Amazon and get
it. Well, you can go to Amazon, but you can go to Target, you can go to Walmart.
And it's just every time you go in like Toys R Us, like they have so much stuff. And it's like, who's buying all this stuff?
Apparently no one, I guess.
Yeah.
they're going out of business.
Yeah, I mean,
I really don't know.
Yeah, like in the 80s, I guess it kind of made sense because where else
would
you go?
Well, do you remember we were talking to my younger brother and he was reminding us that in the 80s, different physical stores got different characters of like the G.I. Joe figures. So they would get different stock. So it wasn't like you could walk into any store anywhere and get all the characters off the shelf.
I do remember trying to get Transformers from Toys
Same
R
thing.
Us and we would go in and they would be sold out by the time we got there.
Like Transformers would be sold out and like the G.I. Joe figures, I remember like it was very dramatic. Like, let's run to this toy store. Let's run to the Kmart. Let's run to the Toys R Us. Let's see if we can find this one particular figure
like
that we're looking for.
Some of the Transformer toys, it was like they didn't exist. Like, some of my friends had them, but it was like you never saw them in stores.
Megatron, we never saw. One of Tim's friends got Megatron, but I don't think we ever saw
Megatron. I had
Megatron,
but
store.
I don't know where my parents got them from. They must have waited in line at Toys R Us or something.
Oh, yeah. Like, I remember my older brother had Optimus Prime, but I think Prime was kind of hard to find. Yeah. So I don't know how my parents managed to get him. We had Prime too.
Our parents were good about getting us.
Yeah.
They'd probably be good to like talk to because I know they managed to get us the Batman toys the year the Batman was popular. They got us Megatron and Optimus Prime. So they got us a lot of cool stuff that was not easy to get, I'm sure.
That's not easy to get.
You know, I remember like they would go to like all these different stores to try and get the Batman toys.
Oh,
and
that's sweet.
Everywhere had Bob, but nobody had Batman.
Oh,
you know,
no.
Bob, the henchman that Joker shoots in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody had him.
Oh, but nobody,
nobody had Batman.
Oh. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not too surprised that Toys R Us can't keep going because, yeah, it's not a treasure hunt anymore. You just.
Yeah, it's
find
it's
the stuff
like,
anywhere you want. Find it
know.
On eBay. Find it on.
I did
online.
Buy Magic cards there back in 2009, 2010, and I mean they had some stuff, but it's like you go in
but
there.
You can get
it's
Magic
like,
cards anywhere though.
Yeah,
that's
true.
It's
and
not like
if
it's
you're
an
gonna buy Magic
store.
Cards, I recommend buying them at your local game store where you
yeah,
play Magic.
Yeah, support local business.
Support them because yeah. God bless them. I was just like I don't know how they make money or if they make money.
Yeah.
But it's great to have community places like that where you can go and meet people and find a pickup game. So, yeah. I think the last thing we're going to talk about is Jessica Jones.
And our crushing disappointment.
What episode are we on now?
I don't know. We've watched 3 or 4, maybe 5.
Yeah, I'm not even sure. We got to like a major,
I mean,
I guess, plot point of the series. Like maybe the first one.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we give spoilers, so
yeah,
spoilers. We just found out that the superhuman woman who was, like, attacking Jessica is supposedly her mother.
Yeah,
I'm like, really, Jessica? You couldn't recognize your mother? Like, the wig fooled you? You didn't recognize her face, her voice?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, the writing...
It's terrible.
Like we were talking about it before after we watched the first couple episodes. The writing in this... show is not up to snuff. Like
no,
it's there's a lot of inconsistencies and it's like why did this person do this, why, like the whole part where they go to the she goes to confront the Max character and then gets the other guy to record it, like the whole sequence of events there like didn't make any sense at all. Like the one guy just hung out there until it got dark.
Oh
doing
yeah,
what?
Right. Like all of a sudden it's daytime and they're in the trailer talking to him, and then all of a sudden like 6 hours have gone by and it's like dark, and they've apparently both been even though they drove over
like,
together.
Everybody's
they
gone
both
home
just like
from the lot.
They
for
haven't
the day.
Texted each other. They haven't walked back to their car. It's like she just forgot she drove him over. It's
like the writers aren't thinking about like
no.
How does this logically make
but
sense?
But also, so my bigger issue with the whole Max thing is that in the first series, they already established that Jessica was living with Patsy by that point, Trish. So, and Jessica beat the crap out of her mother for trying to make her throw up. So you really think Jessica's, and also, I'm sorry, but a 15-year-old girl is not going to allow her mother to pimp her out for a movie. Like, you can't. I could see getting seduced by a director. I could see
the
that.
The whole relationship of,
but
of
it
Patsy and her mother is
no,
just like,
it doesn't make sense.
Just disturbing. Like,
it is disturbing.
And a lot of the things that like happen in the show seem to happen because the writers need it to happen, not because...
Right.
Like, when Patsy first takes the
Trish,
soldier...
Guess, but yeah.
Wait, what's her... Trish was her
yeah, Patsy was her acting name
okay,
as a
so,
kid.
So when Trish, like, first takes the inhaler
for the drug... Yeah.
Like, the circumstances of it happening are real iffy.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. There was no high pressure stakes
now,
for
like,
her to take
I kind
it.
Of understand why she got addicted to it afterward.
I understand that.
That made sense. But, like,
but
the
I can't
initial...
understand Malcolm as an addict not recognizing that she's freaking high. And craving drugs.
I can kind of understand that a little bit. He should have been more tuned into what was going on, though.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's kind of innocuous.
But
it's like
also, like, I don't... I think that they did not set her boyfriend up to be somebody who was stealing her limelight, who she didn't really love. They set him up in the whole first several episodes to be somebody who she did genuinely love, who was genuinely interested in supporting her career. And then all of a sudden she's like, no, I was completely wrong to be with him. I can't marry him because he's a terrible person.
It didn't
and I'm
feel,
like, that doesn't make any sense.
It didn't feel authentic
like
at
it's
all
not
because
consistent.
She like her whole conflict with her job didn't make any sense because she was doing what she wanted to do.
Exactly. And he was supporting her in it. He was like, I'm not going to steal your story. And
yeah. And he seemed like a genuinely nice guy.
And Jessica had even checked him out. And he was and she said to herself that she loved him. And then she's like, oh, let me forget everything that's happened in the previous four or five episodes.
Yeah. It's just nothing really feels like authentic in the show, really. Like,
and also, they haven't done any good job at all about reminding us what happened in series one. And especially for people who are just tuning in to series two, like both of us kind of forgot what happened with Will, who was the soldier guy. And I still can't remember what his connection was to IGH. I know they made him that way, but I can't remember his storyline that well. And they haven't reminded us about it at all. They just kind of expect us to remember
they
every
just
single
killed
thing
him and
that
moved
happened.
On, like,
yeah, and that too. They just killed him off immediately.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, I don't know. Like,
it's poorly written.
It is poorly written, and it just makes it hard to get invested in.
I feel like they had the adapters for the Wrinkle in Time movie.
And it's just like...
working on the script.
I mean, just watching it this season, it feels like... like hard to watch, like cringy.
It is
like
it
the whole
is.
Thing. It's just like, and it's because like
the conversations are poorly written.
Jessica's character comes across as just like this mega a-hole all the time.
She
and
is. She's
like,
having like no growth
and
no character.
And
development.
She like she goes back and forth between like she'll like be like, okay, I understand, I have to accept this. To like, no, f you, I don't want to do that anymore. It's like. And which one is it? Like,
exactly.
Like, are you going to be...
She's not having any trajectory. And even if she's totally immersed in her alcoholism, you could still write an interesting story about that.
But she doesn't come across as an alcoholic, though. She just, like, drinks when it's, like, time for her character to drink.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, it never impacts anything that she needs to do.
That's true, you know? You're right.
So, I mean, I don't know if they intend for her to be an alcoholic. If they are, they don't understand. Like... Patsy's clearly an addict.
So
it seems like they know.
And Malcolm, too. They've explained a few things about him in a very heavy-handed way. Well, addicts need to stay busy, Jess. Him
repeatedly telling us that is like...
It's just awkward.
Yeah, and like when he went to the school, he's like, I can't go back to the school. They know me there. It's like...
It's
probably a pretty big school, dude. I'm pretty sure that nobody's going
to
notice you.
And even, too, I'm like, I'm sorry. You have to physically go to the school to find this information on an alumnus.
And, he's like, and then he didn't want to go. And then he's like, oh, let me just confront my old ex.
Who just conveniently happens to be walking by. I mean,
like,
come
on. Oh, hey, I didn't see you there.
Let's have a terribly awkward conversation.
Trust me, I've gone back to my colleges and I did not bump into anyone. I knew.
Because they've all graduated and gone.
I mean, even like when I go back a year or two later, it's like,
it's a huge
schools
campus.
Are so big. Like, you're not going to see anybody.
No, you're not going to run in. No, it's so, yeah. We're not liking it at all, basically.
I hope they do something that makes me like it, but so far it's been a pretty...
Well, if this really is her mother, I think they've just flushed it down the toilet.
At least it's something's happening.
Well, yeah.
There's been a lot of nothing going on for the season.
Yeah.
That's another problem
there's
with
no
it,
plot.
Too. Like, the writing's awkward.
Yeah.
The acting is okay.
They don't really have, like, any true villain.
There's no, like, there's no protagonist. There's no anti.
Right.
There's just a bunch of weird situations that don't seem to really go anywhere.
Exactly.
As soon as somebody shows up, they kill them off.
Exactly.
Like, it's okay. Like, what's the point of making an interesting character if you're going to kill them off within 5 minutes of them showing up? Like,
exactly.
That, like, Wizard was dead in the first episode.
Yeah.
He's really interesting.
And then all of a sudden
he's
dead.
Barely touch on him.
I thought he was going to be one of the major characters for this season.
I mean, he had a pet Wolverine and whatever it was.
What was it, a mongoose?
A mongoose, that's right.
Yeah.
He was an interesting character that they killed off immediately for...
I know. For no
what,
reason.
What, I guess for plot motivation?
I don't know. So anyway, we're not excited about it, but we're
gonna finish it. We'll give you our thoughts afterwards.
Next episode,
I think we're a little jaded after the disaster that was Iron Fist.
Well, the only thing that I did say about it when we were watching it, I said, well, it's slightly better than Defenders and Iron Fist just because Danny Rand isn't in it. Yeah. That's the only reason why.
Yeah, that's true.
But actually, I thought Iron Fist did a better job at developing at least his family of villains. You know, Danny Rand was annoying as anything. But
well, yeah.
It had a more interesting plot.
The villains in that show were 10 times more likable than the hero was.
Yeah. But anyway.
So.
All right. All right. Well,
thanks for listening, everybody. If you like our podcast, we'd ask that you support one of our charities. Small Angels Rescue is a Frederick County MD-based 501c3 nonprofit, no-kill, all-volunteer organization dedicated to the rescue and rehoming of gerbils, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, and rats.
And Matt does Extra Life, which unites thousands of players around the world in a 24-hour gaming marathon, which supports Children's Miracle Network hospitals.
Yeah, and I haven't gotten my registration done yet, but that will be done soon.
So he's going to do a stream at some point this year to benefit our DC Children's Hospital.
Yeah. And thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next time.
See you next time.